to another inspirational message from Pastors Dave and Jenny Gilpin. Dave and Jenny are the senior pastors of Hope City Church. For any more information or for any more resources, go to davegilpin.com.
So there's three reasons why you're looking like $1 million. The first reason is because you're prophesying. You're prophesying that my life is $1 million. You're prophesying that, you're prophesying it is a new day. When I went through a difficult patch in church life, a number of years ago, I went down to Debenhams in the UK, which is like the Maya Centre, and I bought myself the most expensive tie that a man could ever buy. And I went back to church that was collapsing. A lot of difficult things were happening in church life at the time. And I looked the exact opposite. I just looked like $1 million. If I don't know if you had the ad, if Carlsberg does, but if Carlsberg, the beer, it's an ad in the UK. They say if they did a best looking pasta in the UK competition, then I would have won hands down. I looked fabulous. And so I thought, well, the next week I went back down to Debenhams. So I've got the largest, and the problem now is that nobody wears ties, but I've got the largest, most expensive tie collection in the United Kingdom, right? And you know, when you're prophesying, when you're going through a difficult time, and when you're prophesying, you want to prophesy from the inside out and from the outside in. You want to prophesy through boohoo.com.au. You want to prophesy from the outside in and from the inside out. You want to say, I'm called, I'm chosen, I'm the right woman in the right place at the right time. It's me. And you want to prophesy that to the world around about you that wants to make you think you're the wrong person at the wrong time with the wrong giftings. In the wrong place, and someone's got to come along, i.e. you, and you need to draw a circle around yourself and stand inside the circle, bake yourself a cake, put on Abigold, and say, I am the right woman in the right place at the right time, in Jesus' name. Some of you look like $1 million because you're heading in the right direction. And no one knows your full story. It's kind of like a problem, is that we just see snapshots, but you see the whole video. And snapshots are cruel, you know, in that sometimes you could be on a diet and you could finally slip into something and think, I'm feeling like $1 million. But other people who just see the snapshot think you've got a long way to go. But because you've seen the video, you think, I've come a long way. And how many of you in this room have come so far? Nobody's come from where you've come from. You know, in the words of Rihanna, that you found love. That you found love in a hopeless place. But nobody knows how hopeless. And sometimes you just, I don't know if you saw Michelle Obama in Carpool Karaoke. Did you see it? Just, she's singing at the top of her lungs. Sometimes you just need to put on a bit of Obama. Because nobody knows the full extent of the entirety of the journey that you've been through. And it's been lonely. It's been harsh. It's been hard. It hasn't been for the faint-hearted. So you crossed that river, that icy cold river, and you slipped into it, but you made it to the side. Nobody videoed it. It's not on Instagram. It's not on Facebook Live. But this thing happened totally unrecorded. But by the grace of God, you'd still be in the frozen river. God has been good to you. And it's time, ladies, that you celebrated that God's been good to you. God's been good to you. He's seen it. He's recorded it. He's noticed it. And he'll reward it. Because that's the kind of God that he actually is. It's the day of small beginnings, but everything starts small, and you need to celebrate a little. Now, the third reason why you need to look like $1 million is because you're absolutely sick of being squeezed into a mold of other people's opinions. And I would say, ladies, you need to get mad. You don't just want to love yourself. You want to hate yourself. You want to hate what other people are imposing on you. You want to have righteous anger. It's wrong to be too soft. It's wrong to be too pliable. There is a moment you need to rise up and look like $1 million because you are sick to death of people seeing you as you once were. You're changing. Something's happening inside you right now. Something's happening. There's a holy rebellion. And you need to get in with the holy rebellion. Stop being so nice. Stop being so submissive. Stop being so subservient. Subservience does not suit a woman of God. It's wrong, 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 wrong. It's from the dark side. Subservience is being a doormat. None of you are called to be a doormat to the opinions of other people. And I was at a conference and a few years ago, and our youth pastors were like Posh and Becks, right? But she had, I pinged a photo to them of last year, and she had this long blonde hair, and she kind of looked like $1 million. But since then, and it's a woman's prerogative. She was now ginger. She cut her hair because it's a woman's prerogative. I'm going to grow it. It's like a repeating record. I would never say this to her, right? But she looked a bit washed out. Do you know when you put on a color that's just a little too heavy for your complexion? So I pinged this photo of her last year. And within a minute came back a hashtag. And it was a hashtag that just says last year's bants. And it struck me that even though, according to my viewpoint, she looked better 12 months ago, she slapped me with a hashtag. She's saying last year's banter, last year's conversation. She said, I am not living in last year. Thank you very much. So no more photos. She said, I'm living in this year. It's this year's bants. This year's conversation. Hashtag this year. So get the hell out of here with your hashtag last year's bants. I'm not blonde. And it made me realize that that's exactly the same spirit a lot of you ladies here need. You need the spirit that says, this is me now. But don't get people to take Instagrams of you right now, because what you are now is going to be different to what you are in half an hour. It's going to be different for what you are in a day and a half, because we're being transformed. That you're forever changing, but somebody wants to freeze you back. Someone's taken a Kodak picture and wants to freeze you back in history. And the greatest weapon you have is to go on a holy rebellion, an extinction rebellion, extinguishing who you were, extinguishing the vision people have of you, extinguishing the old you, and putting on the new you. Here's my scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we with unveiled faces think about God's glory. Our being, notice that. It's not has been. My gosh, you're not a has been. You are being transformed. The word transformed is the Greek word metamorpho, which is when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. It becomes totally unrecognizable. That's what's happening in this room. That's the marker of the Christian faith. It's not a standard of righteousness. It's a degree of change. And you're changing. It's just the rest of the world think that you are who you used to be. But you're not. Some of you just need to, again, put a circle around yourself. Put on some Coldplay. Do a little dance. Celebrate who you're becoming. You're becoming the next you. You're becoming, you're evolving, you're changing, you're emerging. And what you're saying at this conference is nobody's going to stand in the way between me and the transforming power of God. No one. Not the opinion of loved ones, not the opinions of parents, not the opinions of friends. That's what you need at this conference. Nobody is going to get in the way of me being transformed into who I'm becoming. You need to be less nice. You need to be a little harsher, a little harder with this. In the spirit of Taylor Swift, like to call her Tay-Tay. It's only a few years ago she famously declared, "I'm sorry, the old Taylor can't come to the phone right now." Why? Because she's dead! That's what you need, the Tay-Tay spirit! The old you can't come to the phone right now. Why? Because she's dead. Consider yourself dead. Dead, 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 dead. You don't want to find yourself, ladies. Because you might not like what you find. A lot of people say, "I'm just going to be myself." Please don't. Don't just be yourself, because you're going to be, you might just be the narcissistic you, the Kim Kardashian you. You might be the nasty you, the Lindsay Lohan you. It's in you. And you might be the naughty you, the Miley Cyrus you, swinging on a wrecking ball. Because there's a Miley inside of every one of you. There's a Kardashian inside of every one of you. There's a Lohan inside of every one of you. Don't be yourself. You don't want to just be that you. That's the old you. You want to be a mixture between the authentic you and the new you. And you want to become the transform you. You want to be the next you. Not the old you. You want to be the next you. The next you is the next big thing, because everything flows from your heart. You don't want to find yourself, you want to define yourself. You want to define, this is who I am. You're going to spend a lot of time defining yourself, redefining yourself. According to Scripture, according to Revelation, you're going to spend a lot of time. Not finding, not going on some Buddhist excursion in Tibet. I mean, you just come back slightly addicted to marijuana if you did that. You're going to find yourself. You're going to define yourself. Define yourself. In Genesis chapter 1, God spent the first 4 days defining. He spent the first 4 days defining his creation and the last just 2 days demonstrating his power. You think you need a power shift. No, no, no. You need a defining shift. In this meeting, you don't need the power of God. You need the pencil of God to redraw you. Somebody's drawn you wrong. You've drawn yourself wrong. And you need to pick up the pencil of God. And if you do that for 4 days, then God will pick up the power of God and we've got liftoff. In day one, he defined night from day. In day two, he defined sky from sea. In day three, he defined sea from ground. In day four, he defined light from day. Day five, he created life. Day six, he created woman. Spent the first 4 days with the pencil of God. The last 2 days with the power of God. No one can draw you like you can draw you, because no one knows you like you know you. No one knows what you're becoming like you know what you're becoming. And the more you draw yourself according to the imprint that God's placed within your heart, the more explosive the future of your life. Someone once said, what if the you that God knows is the you you've never met? Somehow we're going to have to, in this conference, bridge the gap between where you are and what God thinks you are, who God thinks you are. He knows the future you. The problem with just being yourself is you're defined by external circumstances. You're a product of what's happened to you. Most of you are more the authentic you at 8 years of age than 28 years of age than 48 years of age, because you've been defined by your environment. And this is God's enemy. God's enemy is your identification. God's enemy is the whooping and the warping of you that should never have happened, but it has happened. So you're going to have to now redraw who you are according to not who you've been or who you are today, but who you're becoming. The most powerful you is the next you. It's not the new you, because I know a lot of grumpy Christians. So even if you've got the new you in you, it still makes very little difference. You want to choose who you're going to be. And when you choose who you're going to be, then that's the next you. It's the power of choice mixed in with the new you, mixed in with a bit of the authentic you. And when you combine it all together, that's the next you. And that's the future you. The first thing Jesus said to Simon when he saw him was to, the first thing he did was to redefine him in John chapter 1, verse 41, 42. He said, when he first met him, he said, you are Simon, son of John. Yeah, I am. You will be called Cephas, which means Peter, which means rock. You are made a reed. Don't bang on about the authentic you too much. Because the authentic Peter was reed. Who are you? I'm a reed. I'm just a reed, just been blown around by the wind. Just trying to be authentic here. There's a limitation to authenticity. Because when Jesus said, I mean, he didn't say congratulations, keep on being authentic. He said, I'm going to change you. By the power of my lips, I'm going to change you from reed to rock, reed to rock, reed to rock. I'm going to transform you into the next you. It took a number of years, because when you read the scripture, sometimes it's still Simon. Sometimes he's Simon Peter. I don't think ever he's Peter Simon for some reason. But it did take him 3 years. 3 years. It's like a diet. It's a struggle. It took him 3 years. But you know, Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. And 3,000 were added to the church. Here's my maths. 3 years defining himself. One day demonstrating the power of who he is. 3 years defining. One day demonstrating. Sometimes a demonstration of God's power is an absolute cop-out. Nothing starts with the power of God. Nothing starts with the book of Acts. Everything starts with John chapter 1 and 2. It starts with the Simon being declared, you're no longer Simon. You're Peter. That's where the revival in the book of Acts started. It started with a redefinition. Women, that's where you start, with a redefinition. It doesn't start with a healing. It doesn't start with deliverance. It starts with redefining. And when you redefine, powers and principalities fall at your wayside because they know exactly what you're doing. You're prophesying as Jesus prophesied. I've got four words of wisdom for you. Number one, stop shrinking back to fit the places that you've now outgrown. Stop shrinking back to fit the places you've now outgrown. Some of you are just so scared of not fitting in. You spent your whole life trying to fit in. And now you don't fit in. You think, gosh, I want to go back to the days I used to fit in. I suggest you've never fitted in. Like, what is these days? These, you know what I mean? You think, oh, I go back to the good old days of Aussie rock and roll. Have you heard? Have you come back? Oh, at times, like in my vintage, in my age, I've gone back and listened to Sherbet, and I thought, how utter rubbish was Sherbet? But I thought these were the good old days. That they were just barely scratching out a tune. There's not one woman in this room who's ever fitted. You pretended you fit. You've compromised through trying to fit. For sure. But you never fitted. It's just that you romanticize the past and, oh yeah, I used to get on really. No, it wasn't. You never fitted. I'll tell you why you never fitted. It's because you're born an original. An original's original, isn't it? It's just original. It's nothing like you. There's no one with your shape. You squeezed yourself into a square. That's why our relationship went sour, because trying to take you out of that misshape was a painful experience for each one of you. The authentic you never fits. It pretends that it fits, but it never fits. But you know, far greater than the authentic you is the next you. The next you is not born to fit. You're never born to fit. Every day I wake up thinking, you don't fit, do you, Dave? No, don't fit. Nothing fits. You're getting bigger. I'm so sorry. It's when an analogy goes wrong. These are the dieters. This is the Jenny Craig lot, all right? Just over this side of the room. You're not called to fit in with the world. The world's called to fit in with you. You're what your husband needs to rise to. You're what your city needs to attain to. You're what your church will eventually become like. You're not an outcast. You're a prophet. That's what you are. A prophet, a prophetess. You're a little bit of the future. Walking around in the body of the present. Wow. Gosh, no wonder you don't fit, because the next that's I'm being transformed, being changed from glory to glory. No wonder I don't fit, because I'm not called to fit. Things are meant to fit me, not me fit them. This world needs to rise up and fit around you, because you're not going to unfit yourself to try and fit into it, because it's living in the present. You're living in the future. You're like an angel that's come from the future into the present. You've got future injected into you. So it'd be wrong for you to fit. So why, you question every day, I fit? No, I don't fit. Oh, I just spent time with six girlfriends. Oh, I didn't really feel myself. And that's because you're not called to feel yourself. Because the authentic you doesn't fit because you're born an original, but the next you doesn't fit because you're part of the future. The only thing that entirely fits you is the future. And that's why more of you that can come into the future you, the more united Calvary is ever going to be. Because Calvary is a strange alloy between the future and the present. It's not the present and the past. We're not reminiscing over the past. It was never as good as we said it was. We're an alloy between the present and the future. That's who we are. And if you want unity, if you want to feel like you fit, you're going to fit in with the futurists that are in this room. You got to fit in with those who are moving forwards, not staring backwards. That's where you fit. Now, I'm not going to preach any better than this, so maybe that's a good time for a clap offering if you... Number two, is you not being wanted isn't the world rejecting you, it's God reserving you for a bigger future. Let me read this, right, because time's ticking away. That when Ruth's husband died, it wasn't life rejecting her, it was God reserving her for a bigger future. She became the great-grandmother of King David. But her husband died. And you think, well, the world's against me. Yep, the world might be against you, but God is for you. God is for you. It's not the rejection that you want to concentrate on. It's a reservation. It's God reserving you. Like a table is reserved at a restaurant, there's a table reserved for you, for the future. It's reserved for you. And if you get kicked out of one restaurant, there's another restaurant with your name on the table. Because it's called a reservation. And God has reserved an incredibly bigger future for you. Beginnings always find themselves in endings. Someone once said, what if everything you're currently going through is preparation for everything you've asked for? What if every change? What if every change? What if every bit of icy water was an actual answer to your prayer in a roundabout way? What if the whole of your life had been structured to what you really, really want? What if that's happening right now? Because by the providence and by the grace of God, the Bible strongly suggests that that's what's happening right now. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 9, it says that he sets aside the first to establish the second. He sets aside the first, just pushes it aside, to establish the second. You being unchosen is probably your greatest gift. You being unchosen, thinking, no, no one's chosen me. No, it's probably the greatest gift. Because being set aside for something bigger and brighter and more beautiful and more awesome than you could ever imagine. It's probably what's happening. So, but you're obsessed, I'm chosen. They haven't chosen me, they've chosen somebody. Yeah, that's a gift. The moment you see it as a gift is the moment you step into the next you. Because if you don't see it as a gift, then you'll just move into the Kardashian you. You'll just be thumping around about the place. But if you can love being unchosen, and know that you're actually chosen by God, it's the beginning of incredibly awesome things. Number three, be the only one who does you. Be the only one that does you. Stop looking to be reciprocated. If you're the present giver, if you're the empathizer, if you're the one who forgives first, if you're the only one who opens up first, if you're the listener, if you're the initiator, don't stop. Be the only one that does you, and don't expect anyone to reciprocate, because they can't, because this is you. If you're the first one to say, I forgive you, if you're the first one to say, forgive me, there's a mark of grace and mercy on your life. It's you. Don't expect anybody else to come up and say, well, I'm sorry too, because that's not them. It's you. You're the present giver. So stop expecting everybody to mimic your gifts and who you are. Stop abandoning your gift because no one else is bothered to do for you what you did for them. Life's unfair because you make it unfair. And here's my last point. That's a beautiful point. Don't ever be intimidated by the strength of yesterday's heroes.
every new thing starts tiny. It just starts small. Nothing starts big. You get intimidated by yesterday's heroes and get intimidated by yesterday's power pack. You know, no, don't do that. Everything starts in the shallows. Everything starts small. Everything starts marginally unconfident, but it is the next big thing. It just starts. It just kind of creeps in. But you know, it's a little insecure because the huge waves of yesterday. The greatest resistance to the new move of God is always the old move of God. It's not Satan. It's good people. But you want to be... So, you know, a busload of Japanese tourists went to a town in America, went up to a guy who was sitting on the bench and said, "Were any great men born in this place?" He said, "No, only babies." Everything starts. Everything starts as a baby. And I want to say, this is a word of my spirit for you right now, that even though you think, "Well, who am I?" No, you're the beginning. You're the beginning. Well, you know, when a toddler starts to, you know, when it starts to walk, it just falls over and over and over. Yeah, but it's the beginning. You know, Usain Bolt at 1.5 years of age looked like a loser. But it was the beginning. It was the beginning. Never don't despise. I've got to pull out. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Oh, girls, it's beginning. It's beginning. Don't say to your husband, "Can you hear that? I can hear it. I hear the gun of it's beginning." No, don't. Just get your own ticker tape parade. If you do this well, he'll hear it in about a year and a half's time. It's beginning. I got blown out by this, but Ed Sheeran, the Ginger Ninja from the UK, the world's greatest songwriter ever in the history of songwriting. He just writes a song a day. Just a song a day. That's all he does. Song a day. I mean, he's got a big hit at the moment with Beautiful People, but that used to be a song a day. Had a great hit with I'm In Love With The Shape Of You. It's a little bit naughty. I don't get push and pull like a magnet. I'm thinking never happens between me and my wife that right now. But you know, Shape of You, it was just part of a song a day. Castle on a Hill, it's a great song. Lego House. I mean, who writes a song called Lego House? It's just a stupid song. Yeah, but it's because of a song a day. Am I ministering to you right now? Everything starts just a song a day. How do you get to be the world's greatest song a day? How do you move into the next year, which is the next big thing? It's a song a day. Don't stop writing. Don't despise the day of small, tiny beginnings. This is how God works. This is how God operates. I'm going to finish with a prophecy from Elton John. Can I save the money with Rocket Man the movie? It starts good, finishes poor. The same as Toy Story 4. Here's the prophecy. It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. Isn't it? Like, you're happy, scared? Aren't you? Like, even now, the emotion in the room is happy but scared. You're lonely but expectant. That's lonely but expectant. That's bit of the authentic you mixed in with the next you. You're lost yet found. Lost and found. How do we feel, ladies? Lost and found? Yeah, lost and found. I can see you nodding. I'm lost and found. Lost, very lost. Very lost right now. Very, very lost. I feel found. Very found right now. Feel very found, very centered right now. Feel very teary, very teary, very teary. Very, very, very teary. You know, I'm quite happy. You know, I'm quite happy. I'm quite happy. I just love a good bit of banter at the moment. Just having a great time. You know, I'm teary and I'm happy. You know, just... I'm not one of those who can easily hide. You can't hide this thing. You're being transformed. You're morphing. Even as I speak, you're morphing. You're being transformed from glory to glory. I call it from G to G. You're getting better, brighter, bigger, strong. Don't have much money, but boy, if I did, I'd buy a big house where we could live. I can't make anything out of those lyrics, so we'll just skip right over those lyrics. You don't have much money, but you've got a seed. You got a seed. I mean, don't kid me. A seed's the same as a tree. It's just a tree 10 years prior. That's all it is. You don't have much money, but you don't need power. You don't need houses. All you need is the seed. That's all you need. I mean, what more? You see to see. If I was a sculptor, but then again, no. Or a man who makes potions in a traveling show. Can't do anything with that. Nothing with that. Just, I know it's not much, but it's the best I can do. My gift is my song. And Lord, this one's for you. I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is, Lord, when you're in my world. Your song. It's your song. It might be quite simple. World, I hope you don't mind. Husband, I hope you don't mind. Past friendships, I hope you don't mind. But I'm going to celebrate.